He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through.
Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and The God Is Just a Prayer Away, radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It is written, and when the disciples heard it, they were astonished, exceedingly, saying, who then can be saved? It is written, then answered Peter and said unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall we have? Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Take my life, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message. In the days of the regeneration, in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus said to the apostles, verily I say unto you, that ye who have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The statement concerning the days of regeneration was brought on when the rich young ruler came to him and said, "Master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" In this encounter, Jesus told him to keep the commandments. The young man said he had done all that, and Jesus assured him he had not done enough. "Go, sell that which thou hast, and give to the poor, and come, follow me." The young man left. He wanted to go to heaven, but he did not want to go badly enough. So Peter said, "Lord, we have left all and followed thee. What then shall we have?" That is a good question for all of us. What does following Jesus mean? Peter himself has the answer for us in 1 Peter, the second chapter, when he said, "Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." There's a gospel song that says, "How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light." But then a follow-up question to this would be, how far should we walk with the Savior? Revelation 14, the fourth verse, has the answer. "These are they that follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth." So, Lord, what's in it for us? However, Jesus honored Peter by giving him something beyond the value of silver and gold. For one thing, he had already given him the keys of the kingdom. And in Acts 3, verse 6, Peter told a lame man, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, that give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The Lord would also give him the honor of being the keynote speaker when the first gospel sermon was preached on the day of Pentecost. And in addition to that, in Revelation 21:14, the names of Peter and all of the apostles were on the 12 foundations of the wall of the holy city, coming down out of heaven. That's what following Jesus meant to Jesus and Paul. Now, when Jesus called Matthew, he said, "Follow me." Luke 5:28 tells us, "He arose and left all and followed him." What did he get out of that decision? Matthew never dreamed of the honor that he would receive when he was one of four men who was chosen to write the biography of Jesus and the first one in the list of the four. James and John had a prosperous business. They had servants. And Jesus called them, and they left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. "We gave up a lot, Lord. What's in it for us?" Jesus said in Luke 19:18, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or wife or brethren or parents or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this time, and in the world to come eternal life." The Apostle Paul liked to boast of what he gave up for Christ. He said in Philippians, the third chapter, "But the things that were gain to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." If we take the Lord at his word, it is evident that it pays to serve Jesus. He said so. I heard a man one time on television who was a former preacher turned entertainer, and someone asked why he left the ministry. He said, because the Lord doesn't pay too well. He was wrong. The Lord pays better than anyone, not dollar for dollar, home for home, acre for acre, plus the fact that you cannot beat the retirement system of Jesus. Ask anyone who has spent a lifetime serving the Lord if it pays. It not only pays, it pays a hundredfold, and in the end, eternal life. Perhaps some would say in the words of the song, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Now, in the days of regeneration, that's the period of time that we are living in right now. It began on the day of Pentecost and will end on the day when the Lord announces his return with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the sound of the trumpet. Paul identifies these days for us when he said in Titus, chapter 3, But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love toward men appeared, not by works done in righteousness which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So the days of regeneration began, the day the church began, and there were 3,000 people who gladly received the word of the apostles and were baptized. And the Lord added day by day those that were saved. And that brings us to the throne of his glory, then the thrones of the apostles, and then to the judgment of the apostles. First, the throne of his glory. Then the Lord said, In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ladies and gentlemen, he is sitting on the throne of his glory at this moment. When Peter preached his first gospel message, he stated in Acts 2, chapter 30th verse, David, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn by an oath unto him that of the fruit of his loins he would set one upon his throne, he, foreseeing this, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that neither was he left unto Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption, being therefore by the right hand of God exalted. He hath poured forth this which ye see and hear. For David ascended not into heaven, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Then Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Jesus is seated on David's throne right now. During the regeneration, he will sit on the throne of his glory, and he will sit there until he returns. Now, while Jesus is sitting on the throne of his glory, the Christian can look upon that throne as the throne of prayer. Hebrews 4 tells us, Having then a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who was tempted in all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help us in time of need. The grace we receive is unmerited favor, and the mercy is grace in action. As a Christian, I need to approach the throne every day, since no day passes by but what I need mercy, and plenty of it. The throne of his mercy can also be looked upon as the throne of judgment. The Apostle Matthew in 25:32 tells us about the coming when he says, "But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." It appears the judgment day will begin when the Lord comes in his glory and sits on the throne of his glory. The throne as judgment is also mentioned in Revelation 20, when John says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no room for them. And I saw the small and the great stand before the throne, and they were judged." It appears these two judgment scenes are the same, since the results are the same. The scene in Matthew ends with, "These shall go away into eternal punishment, and the righteous into eternal life." And the one in Revelation ends, "And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death, even the lake of fire. "And if any was not found in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire." Then the Lord had something to say about the thrones of the apostles. Jesus said, "The 12 apostles will sit upon 12 thrones." Ladies and gentlemen, they are sitting there now, sitting on the 12 thrones of their authority. Jesus said to the apostles before he ascended that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit was come upon them, and they would be his witnesses. He also says that the Holy Spirit, when he is come, will guide you into all the truth and bring to you your remembrance all things that he said unto them. The apostles are still sitting on their thrones. They have no successors. Someone asked, "Why do we not have apostles in the church today?" We do have apostles. The original apostles are still with us in the authority of the Word of God. Actually, the only apostle who needed a successor was Judas Iscariot, and that was Matthias in Acts 1:23. Now, there may be others who claim they are apostles today, but they are false apostles. Jesus refers to them in 2 Corinthians 11, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." In Matthew 16, Jesus said to the Apostle Peter and to all the apostles later on, he said, "Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So, on the day of Pentecost, when the multitude asked, "What shall we do?" Peter told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That statement about baptism was bound in heaven, because Jesus said, "Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." and when Peter said, "Your sins are forgiven," that statement was also bound in heaven, because Jesus said, "Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The keys of the kingdom are nothing more and nothing less than the terms whereby the Lord will allow you to come into His church and be a part of His everlasting kingdom. We do not have instruction from all the apostles, but what one of them said, they all said. What one of them taught, they all taught. When one apostle spoke, he was speaking for the whole bench of apostles. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the judgment of the apostles on the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel, the apostles, are judging. What they are judging is the church of Jesus Christ. Israel today is composed of Christians. Paul says in Galatians 6, 15 and 16, "For neither is circumcision anything but uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk by this rule, peace be upon you and the Israel of God." Again in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be neither male nor female. For ye are all one man in Christ Jesus. And if ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. Since we are spiritual Israel, the apostles judge us now. We take all questions to the apostles for their decision." Peter spoke for the whole bench of apostles when he explained that they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as prophesied by Joel, promised by the Lord. He preached the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, and they sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. All the apostles agree, Thomas, Matthew, James, John, all of them, the whole bench, they all agree, the regeneration is now. The Lord is seated on His throne now. The apostles are seated on their 12 thrones now. And their judgment for us is now. In their decisions, as Paul tells us in Titus, the 3rd chapter, "But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Luke also refers to this washing when he referred to the baptism of the Apostle Paul. "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." This prediction of Jesus will find a double meaning as we think of the end of the world. Peter speaks of the destruction of this planet when he says in 2 Peter the 3rd chapter, "The elements, being on fire, shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth and all things that are therein shall be burned up. But we, according to promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." Ladies and gentlemen, this world is going to be renovated. When that time of regeneration comes, the king will sit on the throne of his glory, and before him will be gathered all the nations. Jesus will judge the world by the same method that he uses now, by the judgment of the apostles. Jesus said, "He that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. Even the word I speak, the same shall judge him in the last day, when the great business plants of our city have turned out their last finished work, and the merchants have made their last order, and dismissed every last tired clerk, when the banks have raked in their last dollar, and given their last dividend, and the judge of the earth says, 'Close for the night,' and we stand up before him, what then? Now, when the choir has sung its last anthem, and the preacher has prayed his last prayer, and the people have heard their last sermon, and the songs have died on the air, when the Bible lies closed on the pulpit, and the pews are all empty of men, and each one stands facing his record, and we stand up before him, what then?" Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address: Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again: Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Remember to check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow, and in some way that God is just a prayer away.
God is just a prayer away.